and a very nice day full of inspirations. It is certainly a very nice feeling to be amongst all of you. Thank you for your greeting and for your devotion and your very nice singing. I have now had several Vyasa Puja ceremonies. I don't remember how many, because I don't count them, but I slowly start to become accustomed to them. It is not always easy in such a situation. Imagine yourself sitting here and receiving the adoration and the affection of so many people at once. It is almost a little overwhelming, I should say. But it is, I very much appreciate each one of yours, your presence, and I should also greet all the devotees who are watching this program on the internet. Let me just ask Madan Mohan, sind wir schon online?
Nicht ganz, 2 Minuten.
Okay, good. Then I will say a few small things before. So, Madan Mohan, du kannst mir ein Zeichen geben. Ja? I was thinking this morning, we had such a nice festival so far. How can we make this part of the festival, the birthday celebration, equally nice? And I believe that everything becomes nice when one is honest, when one is truthful, when one is connected with that which is. So I would like to tell you that I think we can make this a festival very nice. I'm saying we. My role will be to just say now something which is of meaning, which can inspire you, and during the celebration I wish to be as personal as humanly possible. I realize more and more that it is sometimes not so easy for all of you to only see me in a public event like this one, where I cannot greet all of you personally and maybe address your present concerns in a very personal way. I cannot, it's just not possible for one person. And some of you might feel, but we want to talk with him for hours. We can talk for hours. And I know I'm a big talker, so I can do that. But where is the time when tomorrow, by some over-enthusiastic arrangements, I'm flying already to India. Where's the time? The way how I address this perplexing question is that I just try to speak as real and not so formal during these birthday meetings. And I think way ahead of the time what I will say that could possibly address thoughts or questions or just the situation in which you are at this stage of your life. So I'm always imagining Ramanujacharya in this situation. He once had to discuss with, I believe, a few hundred people at the same time. And all these scholars who had individual challenges to put before him. So what Ramanujacharya did is, he had a screen covering him, screen and forehang, and then he took on his form as Ananta Shesha with thousands of heads, and each one spoke to each one of the scholars who had put their questions before him and who continued to discuss with him. Now this is a dream which has not yet come true for me. And I mean, how can we be Ramanujacharya, who's Ananta Shesha himself? That's not normal, so normal people. But I'm thinking of this, and I'm praying to Krishna that although I cannot take, I do not know how many devotees are listening to this. I cannot take so many heads now. I cannot. But I hope that somehow by the Lord's mercy, who is in the present in all of our hearts, in the super soul, that I will find words which are conveying this the meaning of what I want to say, to address all of you. I would be allowed online. Good. Hare Krishna, all the devotees who are online, I welcome you here in Goloka Dham. You see the beautiful bridge. It is a motto of our festival that we wish to find that bridge which leads us over the ocean of birth and death, or the Viraja River, to go to where we belong, to our original spiritual home, the spiritual world. This is happening due to the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Srila Prabhupada. Fine. This festival is divided in two parts. I mean, today's festival. There is first the traditional part, that is now, where we do follow a very precise outline which Srila Prabhupada gave for such festivals. And then there is a more free part in the evening. I have also seen our talented Syamananda a moment ago, which means we will have some more of the world of art this evening, Krishna conscious art. And I will also say something about the Bhakti way. This illustration, or let me say this installation, I think you call it, has two meanings. One I've said, and the other I will say in the evening. Good. So I would first of all like to speak about the meaning of this festival, or this ceremony, with all the different items, like our first item, the Guru Puja, the second item, the foot washing ceremony, and the items which will follow. This festival is called a Vyasa Puja celebration. Vyasa is the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna, who composed and compiled the entire Vedic literature. And Puja means worship. On this day, the Vyasadeva is worshipped, and the parampara, that is the line of teachers which emanates from him, which is known as the disciplic succession in English, or the Guru Parampara in Sanskrit. Vyasadeva is not worshipped alone, he is worshipped with the different teachers, and our teacher is also not worshipped alone, but he is worshipped with his own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In this way, this is really a very special motto. It is a very, it's not really, you can't really say today happy birthday to me, because it's a different ceremony. It's not so much about me alone as it is to a very exalted principle of knowledge. You would have to say happy birthday to a principle of knowledge, but that doesn't sound very very correct in the English language. It doesn't say anything. This line of disciplic succession has started with Krishna himself, who revealed the Vedic knowledge to the creator of this universe and the living entity which is the first created being, Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma in turn gave this transcendental knowledge to Narada Muni, and from there parampara means one after the other, one great exalted soul after the other came to hand this knowledge down. It's interesting to note that this is a spiritual knowledge. It's transcendental. It's really beyond this world, and the speaker of this knowledge is the Lord himself. When I was in Radhadesh for the Radhadesh Mellows, I met a young man who knows Krishna consciousness now for 3 months. In comparison to many of us, that's very little, that's just 3 months. We would say, Bengal, you still have the milk of your mother in your mouth. You're so young. That is very, very interesting, Bengal. And very young in spiritual life on Krishna consciousness. But he said something which was very profound. He said, when I think about this, that when I read Prabhupada's books, I'm reading what God himself has spoken. And that's why I'm attracted to Krishna consciousness and not other religions or movements. Because here I'm sure that this, what I read or what I hear, is spoken by God himself. So he said this like this, and then we spoke something more, and at the end he had to move on, he had to go back to Germany. And I was sitting on my chair and said, wow, is it really like this? This is the word of God? Wow. And then I began to think about let me check it, because sometimes devotees say something which is not wrong, right? Especially young devotees. How can they know everything? You know. So let me, is this really our philosophy? And then I was reminded of the idea of parampara. It's a huge claim in Deutsch, ein gewaltiger Anspruch, to say movement is presenting the word of God. You can't go higher than that. Is it really like this? And then I said, let me, I would like to hear this from Prabhupada himself. And then I happened to read one lecture he gave on his appearance day in New Vrindavan. You know, when you really want to know things, have you noticed it? And you open the transcendental, the literature, then pong, the, right there is the answer. Have you seen that?
Yes.
And you have said, oh my God, it's like in Sophie's word. Someone seems to work on me. This is really amazing. So I had the same moment. I opened a new book, which I like very much. It's called Without Fear. It's a book on Srila Prabhupada by Rupa Vilas Prabhu, one of my exalted God brothers, who quotes a lot from Srila Prabhupada's own words. And yes, there Prabhupada said in this address, we do not manufacture any knowledge. Me means I do not manufacture any knowledge. I've written it here. The perfect knowledge comes from God, and one who distributes that knowledge, exactly like God said, he is perfect. Oh, there it was, black on white. He said, perfect knowledge comes from Krishna, the one who basically repeats it. He distributes that knowledge exactly like God said. No? He is perfect. Here it was. Prabhupada said, I am also not making things up. I am presenting the things as I heard it from my spiritual master. He heard it from his, and then way up to Krishna. When I was a young devotee, I asked myself, how can we be sure of this? I mean, things change over the time. There's for instance, the manuscripts, there are mistakes in the palm leaf manuscripts, you know, when people who copy the sacred literature fall asleep and they imagine something and put it down, yeah. or they leave things out, or they have a bad day and while they were copying the Bhagavata they were thinking of something else and they dropped some knowledge. Well, you must know this tradition is not just academic knowledge, but it was practiced, all this, and it was practiced by sadhus, it was spoken by the guru, and it was recorded in literature. And when there was some mistake in the literature, the sadhus knew it because they practiced this. They heard this knowledge. It was all over the place. It did not really need to be written down because we hear people were more able to remember at that time than we are. It is alive. It is alive with practice. I listened to a lecture by one scholar, Ravi Karaman, who says, therefore in the Bhagavatam, which is such a book of practice, we find a consistency in the manuscripts. There are no different versions. It's just one, because it was known. It was like the instructions for using a wash machine. You know, you can't make mistakes in the instruction when it's all the time practice. Any mistake would immediately have serious consequences, and you would know he has a mistake. So it is a consistent manuscript history there in the Bhagavatam, because it was a practice text. It was handed down in the parampara. Prabhupada gave an example about him not break manufacturing knowledge or in Krishna consciousness the knowledge is not imagined or fabricated. He gave an example of the mango harvest, the mango ernte in India. What you do when you have a ripe mango, you send different workers up the branches of the tree and they hand down the mango from wherever they pluck it in an unbroken chain, so to say, of not disciplic succession but on mango mango man succession, you know. And at no stage in this process is the mango fabricated. The mango comes from the tree. It is made by the tree. It's made by God, actually. So in the same way, that's what he wanted to convey with this analogy. The spiritual knowledge is handed down para means one after the other by teachers, and never is it manufactured or changed, because it's a divine thing, a divine product, the words of Krishna to Lord Brahma. So in this line of disciplic succession, something happened which happened. Prabhupada met his very fallen disciple Sachidananda Swami. I massaged his lotus feet in 1974 in Schloss Rettershof, and I was very nervous. And I must have told you, I came into this room because there was really no other person who could massage. Today we had Purushottam Krishna and Madhupati, who are excellent masseurs. They seem to have taken a course before they did this. But I was totally unprepared for this. I just happened to sit before the door, and the devotee who did the massage every morning had fallen ill with a cold, and he was not able to perform this service. So who was there? Me, before the door. So he had asked me, who knows how to massage? And I asked, whom? Srila Prabhupada. I said, oh, I'm the best answer. I had said, I'm a truly experienced, I know the science, I'm a light. No idea. So he said, good, we just need a person like you. And then I was still very confident when I was before the door, but I entered, when I entered the door, Srila Prabhupada looked at me and he had a way to read your heart. There was no secret you could keep before him. He was just on such a high level, and when a person of a lower level comes to a person on a higher level, then a person on a higher level knows exactly everything about him. It's just one glass. Aha, good. And I started to melt. My confidence melted and I became red like a Dutch tomato. I perspired in an embarrassing way. My whole shirt was wet here under the armpit. I thought, oh no, now I most probably smell. And I was really insecure now. And Prabhupada looked at me. I think he looked a little bit like my expression. Do you know what to do? This is our movement. And then he said in a very strong strong way because he needed to put me on the ground before I floated away from nervousness. He said, just do your service. Okay. A devotee who was massaging Srila Prabhupada at that time was Satsvarup Maharaj, and he told me I should start at the back. And he said, because you're an expert masseur, you know what to do. So I started from the back and I asked, ah, Prabhupada, what should I do? Just move from down up, he said. And then he, well, it's a long story, I don't wish to repeat it here. Maybe this evening if you want to know. Because I have something here. I have to finish this. And during this time, he said, a devotee should be four things. And he looked at me, meaning you should be four things. A good disciple, a good guru, a water carrier, and a cook. And at that time, it was known that we would not, I mean, there was no, Prabhupada never said he wanted anyone to initiate in his physical presence, and later we learned as long as the spiritual master is present, generally, there may be exceptions, generally the disciples do not initiate in his presence. They are all initiated by the spiritual master. That's the general traditional etiquette. There may be exceptions. So he said it like this: you should be a good disciple, good guru, etc. And at that time, I never. First of all, I was much too nervous to understand anything except for just memorizing the things which happened. I had no time to reflect about anything, but. Second of all, I just never thought of the possibility of doing this service. It was not in my mind. I had not thought about this. It's almost, I can imagine any one of you, if I would say, Guru Krishna, you will be a guru, he would not know me. Isn't it? That's the immediate natural reaction, because we feel, we tremble in the face of this position, a normal person threat. But later, a few days before his disappearance, he spoke again that after he is gone, his disciples should initiate, and we then discovered many places in his books which we had overlooked, where he had indicated this, and then I became nominated, or I was told, please do this service, and I tried to avoid it for an entire year. I was successful, but then I understood it as Prabhupada's desire, and like this, the desire of his more advanced disciples, and I've done this, and I'm doing this service. So I try. Maybe you can see this as the years go by. I try to really take a mango and give a mango. In other words, I'm not trying to manufacture anything, but I'm trying to really study Prabhupada. And today I got the entire Bhagavatam from just the verses from Srila Prabhupada's translation. I thought this, I wonder if there's any better present today. I'm really trying my best, because it is just simply too dangerous if I would try to manufacture anything. The danger is that it could be not exactly right, and it could create havoc in your lives, and we can never experiment with other people's lives. That would be the most unethical thing to do, and therefore I'm trying to really take the mango and then give it with a few commentaries and examples, but the essential knowledge is as it is. At least I hope that this my best attempt is in this direction, because my dear devotees, we are on this journey here. Look, we are going a bridge, and we are going to cross the ocean of birth and death and go back to Godhead. That's not something small. If there is anything wrong, it will not create very good results. So therefore, it is a very delicate work. I consider it more delicate than surgery. I met a very, very good surgeon a year ago, Professor Kirkelink. I mean, this man is a surgeon. He's the first one to be in the operation theater, the last one to leave. He really wants that all his patients are taken care of. And when I have developed some complication, he was highly worried, and he saw me every week to see if everything went well. And I remember there was once a sheikh from Dubai, a rich man, coming, and he wanted to come before me, but he said, no, I'm a surgeon. I'm dedicated to each of my patients, and this is now an emergency patient—not emergency, but it's a patient who I'm personally monitoring, because it's not work. There's some complication which I did not foresee. It is my responsibility that he will dance again, because he told me, what is your desire? Why do you go for surgery? I said, I want to dance again. Mm-hmm. And I told the holy name, tell me more about this. And I told him about the Gita. It's the best person for this problem. Nowadays a surgeon is specialized. He can't do everything. He does one thing or two things, but very good. So I consider distributing spiritual knowledge to be a work more responsible than the work of the surgeon, who can either cure or create a problem for his patient. When he is not alert, when he does a small mistake, it can have serious consequences for the well-being of his patient. And therefore, manufacturing or imagining will simply not work. One has to do it as one spiritual master said it, and one has to keep the line alive. I want to come to the end here. I want to read to you something which will give you faith in this idea of disciplic succession. It's from an interview which Srila Prabhupada gave in America, Tallahassee or something, some town which I could not remember. The journalist was in the beginning, he was a very sharp journalist, and he wanted to find a weak spot in Prabhupada so that he did not look good on the interview. So his questions come from this area, but by Prabhupada's so honest answers and so deep answers, he in the end was highly charmed and asked the devotees to end the show by singing the Hare Krishna mantra. He was really a change took place during the interview. So he starts in a little aggressive way. He says, "What could you add to the already living religious expression in this country by coming here and adding your own philosophy to it?" In other words, he says, we have Christianity here. It works. Why have you come? What is so good in your teaching that you think you need to add this to what we have already? No? This is the question. Are your teachings different from what we our religion here, or perhaps better than the teachings of love of God which we already are connected to in this country and in the rest of the world? So Prabhupada in the beginning knows this journalist is heading for confrontation. He's just asking, do you think you have something better to offer than what we are doing here? And Prabhupada in the beginning says, all religions talk about the same things, and he appreciates all the religions of the world. But then the journalist presses on it. He says, but you came here to give something extra, otherwise you wouldn't have come, no? And now Prabhupada is put on the spot. He has to either speak his conviction or not speak his conviction. And he decides for the first. He says, this teaching is most authorized, because we are following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is, according to the Vedic religion, Krishna personally himself. We follow God directly. He's Krishna, and he teaches us how to love Krishna. Do it like this. God himself, or God himself, was teaching. Previously, Krishna came and said, surrender unto me. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to exactly surrender. So the journalist has heard. And because Sri Prabhupada didn't say it without any fanaticism maybe, or arrogance, but he just said from the deepest, his deepest experience and his deepest knowledge, and it's like this, and that's what he, the journalist thought, wow. Then Prabhupada continues and says, and the method is so potent. We are not just saying my religion is better. See, you have to always, and then he says, speaks in Sanskrit, Falena Parachiyate. A thing is judged by the result. So Krishna consciousness is, of course, not the only religion, but it's actually effective. He says like this. It really works. Then the journalist takes his last chance to attack Prabhupada. Attack, you know, it's not really attacking him. He wants to know, you know, that's why they are journalists. And then he says, but look, you have so few members. if this is effective and potent, why not more? We have 207 million Americans who practice Christianity. A few devotees who practice Krishna consciousness. Would you like to know what Prabhupada says now?
Yes.
You can see, by the way, he chooses this verse, it comes immediately from him. And he's not here. It's not that he has not thought about it. He says, well, when you sell diamonds, you cannot expect that everyone will come and purchase. And this is not a clever, just an answer to get out of their, what is it called? The Würgegriff, we say. What is it? It's not the only to get out of the tight spot. I hope you know your language. It's in a wrestling that you do this.
A deadlock.
Wow. This sounds authorized. What is it?
Headlock.
Not deadlock. Headlock. Sorry. This is now even more authorized. It's not, you know, you are nowadays not wrestling and you don't have that number so much, but we, our generation, knows all these things. It was not just a way, but he thought, and if you think about it, just, you know, the way we practice, you have to practice, you have to chant 16 rounds, that's already 2 hours each day, or a little less, depending on how fast you are. And then you have to follow 4 rules and regulations. That's also very, according to what is practiced nowadays, it's a high standard. I know when I was in the hospital and I told the staff, hospital staff, what I do, they said, wow, you are a saint. It's easy. It's not that I'm a saint. It's easy. And then we read, and then we try to be humble. Although each one of us is so super qualified. My dear devotees, be real, be humble. There is nothing to be so super proud of, but that's another subject. So all these things have, relatively speaking, a high demand. Selling diamonds, not everyone will come and purchase. But it's good that there are diamonds, and it's good that some have it, or some aspire to have it, some aspire to purchase it. Good. So, what I wanted to say by quoting from this interview is how Srila Prabhupada was so sure that he was handing down the words of God, so that when he was pressed hard, he said, "This is most authorized," because Krishna said his message, and then he came again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually tell and illustrate how to follow the words of Krishna. So it's very authorized. It's God taking the role of a teacher, really. And therefore, you may follow this. You know, he said, that was what he, his message. And similarly, today, on this festival day, this Vyasa Puja celebration, I would like to say, my dear devotees, it's not what I manufacture. it's not what I just say. It's what you can find in the parampara. My only value is that I'm practicing this as good as I can, and I may have some insights to unpack it a little. For instance, in chanting the holy name, I somehow happen to like this very much, and I have and I'm the type of person who always needs to find out how everything works, and can say something, try this, try that. But ultimately, I will refer you to verses, to statements of Prabhupada, and to this. I will just illustrate a little, help a little. And maybe then there is, maybe the necessity is that you have someone who can sometimes look at you and see if you're doing your practice properly, and then if need be correct you or encourage you, or at times just be with you when you go through a rough period, and so on. Yeah, this is my little realistic. Not realistic. Coming from my heart, I want to say it like this. On this special day, now I will not speak. We will also maybe have questions this evening, but I know we want to go on with the ceremony. Who's our master? It's right, isn't it? We want to go on. So thank you very much. You have been wonderful students all this time, and it's a great honor, a really great honor to see you on this bridge somewhere, walking, giving your best, sometimes holding yourself and the rope. You need a little pause, and then you march on again. That's very nice and very, let me say, good association for me. And please bless me that I do my service to you better and better and better. I really want to do this. It's a real desire. I'm doing this as a service to my beloved spiritual master, and I want to do it so much that he's proud of me. Mm-hmm. He says, you use whatever you had in my service. Hare Krishna. Good. I could talk and talk and talk, but this is not the time, I guess. All the best for you, and thank you for listening. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nectar. I could say what I wanted. Now I'm silent.